Well, if you've been paying attention over the last few weeks, you can probably guess what today's message is called. Does anybody have an idea? Nobody. Motivation! Hey! This is part three of motivation. And you know, during the summer, we lose our motivation. I think a lot of times it's just too nice outside to go and do what you were planning on doing. You're too relaxed. It's too hot. I'm not going to do that today. I'll just stay inside by the air conditioner. And a lot of times we let go of the plans and the dreams that we have during the summer. We take a summer vacation. But really what I'm trying to encourage you guys to do is stay motivated and keep pursuing and moving forward in life, because God's plan is perpetually moving us forward. We don't want to take a break just for the summer. You know, we want to be going, carrying on with our work all the time. So don't get into those lazy days of summer. Stay motivated and continue moving forward. And so for 3 weeks, we've been talking about motivation. And part one, I was talking about the individual being motivated, and that if you're, you know, motivated from the inside, which is where real motivation starts to happen, now you can be one of the most successful people, because only the successful are the ones that are motivated are the ones that become successful, is what I'm saying. And in part two, I talked about, well, you really want to be successful, you need to know how to motivate other people, because if you can have a whole team of people working with you, you can get far more done. Nobody's ever, you know, built a big corporation or a company unless they could actually motivate other people to work with them. You know, in order to build that, you can't do something really great until you can motivate a whole bunch of people, you know, to work with you and see your vision and see your dream. Well, today, part three, we're going to talk a little bit more about motivation. And I hope you guys have been using this opportunity to think about what is motivating you. Because in week one, I was asking, the question is why? Why do we do the things that we do? Remember we were talking about the chicken? Why does the chicken cross the road? We were asking why. And it's the same thing in our life. It's the question is, why do you do it? And we really got to have the right answer. Because I remember when I encountered God the first time, He asked me the question, why are you working out? And at the time, I was a bodybuilder and I was obsessed with working out. And I was in that gym 6-7 days a week working out. And at that moment, when God asked me the question, why, I did not really have a good answer. I had no answer. And I couldn't understand why at that moment. It made no sense to me anymore. And I quit working out. I never went to a gym again. I never returned to a gym for something like 16 years, when finally I was realizing that getting from the sofa to the fridge, I was exhausted and I couldn't catch my breath. And then Liza said, hey, here's a membership to the gym. And I was like, thank you, honey. Because at least now I can get from the sofa to the fridge and get some food, you know. Because before that, I was exhausted. I couldn't make it. And so there's nothing wrong with going to the gym. We want to stay in shape. But when you get to that point where you're obsessed and that's your whole life, it's a problem. And what God was basically pointing out to me at that very moment when I encountered Him was, why are you doing this? And I couldn't see the real reason why anymore. There was no reason. It didn't make sense. So we got to know why we're doing those things. Now, a lot of things, you know, one of the great ways that I think we learn and what motivates us and moves us forward is by watching other people. And you might not consider it motivation. You might just think of it as learning. But think about children. How do children start to do the things they do? They watch their parents. And you'll notice if you ever, I don't know, you like watching people? Do you like observing people? You go to the mall or some, you know, park and you'll see people, they're walking and they're talking. People are very interesting, aren't they? They do strangest things, but it's fun to kind of just observe them and watch how they interact. But you will notice if you're one of those people who's observant, you'll notice how children will be copying the parents. So you'll see the son walking very similarly to the father. I have three brothers. One of my brothers liked to walk the way my father did. And my father was a, you know, kind of a large guy, and he liked to thump around the house. You knew he was coming. You could hear him thumping when he was coming. You're like, why does he have to thump like that? But that was just the way he walked. You know, well, one of my younger brothers, probably the smallest of the bunch, he decided he was going to be a thumper, maybe to make up for being the smallest. And so everywhere he would walk, you could hear him coming, the thump, 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 thump. Well, for a while I lived with him, and I would always be wondering early in the morning when he's walking on the floor above me, why does he have to be a thumper like my father? You know, but it was the way he learned to walk, and that's what he wanted to be like, and he was copying him. And I think we learn a lot of things like that, though, from watching other people, and we do a lot of stuff like that. For example, the way you dress. If you're not sure, think about teenagers. Teenagers, often the way everything they do is based on watching someone else. And they will dress a certain way. And they will talk a certain way, and they'll get all these piercings. Sometimes there'll be like this trend that's going on, so they'll get like their whole ears and their nose and their lips pierced, and they'll have like pierces over their eyebrows, you know, and they're doing it based on, and Bob's saying tattoos, thank you, Bob, you know, but they'll see these trends go along, and teenagers are trying to learn who they are. They're trying to figure out, who are we? And they'll watch and copy someone else. And so this is one way that we can really, you know, kind of learn. And I think it also ties in to what our motivation is. Because if you want to be like someone else, it's going to motivate you to do everything they're doing. I had this experience a lot when I was growing up. And actually, let me read this scripture before I get into that. This is in Isaiah 60, verse chapter 64, verse 8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are the potter." So we're the clay, and God's the potter. So we can be molded. And depending on what our focus is, being that clay, you know, just think, there's a lot of potential in there. You can make a lot of different things when you just got that clump of clay. But it really depends on what is our goal? What are we looking at, and what are we moving towards? And based on your role model or what you're looking at, that's what you're going to become. So you might not be looking at God. God is the potter, but you might be looking, when you're a teenager, for example, you might see some other friend that's cool, and they've got all the cool clothes, and they seem to have all the friends, so you start to model after them. In other words, your lump of clay begins to look very similar to them. You start to look like them. You dress the same way, get the same mannerisms, you know, you start to talk the same. You know, sometimes I'll see these kids, they're all talking some language out on the street, and I'm like, what are they saying? I don't, but they understand it. They know, you know, you can see them talking back and forth. They know what they're talking about. But it's based on, what are you modeling? You're the clay, but whatever you're modeling after, that's what you become. I mentioned when I was a young man, I love sports still, but I always noticed that I got this, I don't know how I figured this out. It's not like somebody told me it, but I think it was automatic. Because the same way we copy our parents, if we want to become something, we'll often copy somebody to try to become that. Like, for example, when I got into hockey, and I loved playing hockey, and as a young boy playing hockey, I started to watch a hockey player that I really liked, Wayne Gretzky. He was the great one. You might as well watch the great one. If you want to become the best, you're going to watch the best one. And he was the great one. And so I would watch him. I'd sit there by the TV, and I'd watch him skate, and I'd watch him handle the puck, and I would see him, how he moved around the ice. And I was trying to figure all this out. And then I'd go out on the ice, and I'd pretend that I was Wayne Gretzky, and I would skate around, and I'd try some of these maneuvers. He had this one thing where he'd let the puck get into his skates, and then he would kick it to a stick. Looked really cool. So I tried that, you know. I try to figure out how do you do that, you know, and sometimes you'd try something and you couldn't quite do it, so you'd go back and sit there in front of the TV again, watching another game and trying to figure, oh, that's how he did it. Okay, and then you go back out and try it again, and slowly but surely you start to pick up these skills, you start to become like Wayne Gretzky. Now, obviously, at some point, I never became Wayne Gretzky, you can tell, but you know, I did improve as a hockey player, I think, as a result of watching the best guy. I learned things that I would not have learned otherwise. And this is one of the ways I believe that God can keep us motivated and keep us growing and keep us changing, is if we have a role model. I think God wants us to have a role model. Now, I've had a few role models because I had Wayne Gretzky when I was a boy. And then when I got a little older, I remember this one time when I we were playing some summer. It was summer league hockey. My brother and I were playing. And we came out and we were on the way home. And it was hot because it was summer. But when we were in the arena, it was cool. But when we came out, we would go to the 7-Eleven. And we'd go to the 7-Eleven because they had this great ice cream. You know, do you know what a Revel is? Revel, it has, you know, it's white ice cream, it has chocolate over top. Well, this was like an advanced version of that because this was like really fine chocolate over the outside. It was the best. So we would stop there and pick up three or four of those. You know, we were young and we were hungry. And I remember one day when I walked into this particular 7-Eleven, it's the one just before we were getting out of town, we'd catch this one. There was a magazine. And on this, right there at the front, as you walked in on this rack, there was a magazine, and it was Arnold Schwarzenegger on the front cover. And it was a younger picture of him when he used to bodybuild, because he was already in acting at that time. But this picture just stood out to me when I walked in there, and something changed in me. I just saw that picture, and I was like, wow. And I remember I went and picked up my Revels and started eating the ice cream. But I had to come back and see this picture again. And I decided I'm going to buy that magazine. There was a whole bunch of photos of Arnold in there. And I started to work out. That's when I started. It was when I saw that. And I started to model myself after Arnold. And I'd go to the gym and I'd work out. And the great thing about that was you could look at the pictures and be like, you look in the picture and you say, oh, it's not quite me yet. And you go back to the gym and you kept looking. And that was the great thing is you could monitor how you were doing. You could look at the model and then you look at how you're doing. Nope, not quite there. Okay, look back at the model again. If there was an article that he had written about training or, you know, whatever, I wanted to read it and I'd read a book about it. Well, you know what's funny? What started to happen after a while? People started saying to me, you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they weren't talking about my body. They started talking about my face. And I'm like, really? You know, nobody ever used to tell me that before. But you see, I was so engrossed in trying to become a model. He was my role model. I'm this clay. And I'm like focused on, this is where I'm going. This is who I'm going to become. You see this with couples sometimes. Couples that have been together a long time, they start to look the same. Have you ever noticed that? Or maybe you've seen that thing where pets look like their owners. You know, have you seen that one? You know, because we're clay. And if whatever our focus is, wherever we're going, we start to become like that. So I had all these people start telling me, I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I wasn't sure that was a compliment. I don't know if you've seen Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not a bad looking guy, but I think I'm a lot better looking. I used to be flattered when they would say that I looked like him. I just assume they're talking about my body, you know, but... after a while, you know, after I got out of, working out, I got into golf, another sport. And this time, again, I had another role model. This time it was Tiger Woods. Why not? Got to have the best. And at the time, Tiger was at the top and he was winning tournaments left, right, and center. And so I started to focus on Tiger Woods. That was my role model. And I'd watch him on TV and I had books and I had magazines. And again, I'm looking, you know, people started saying, you look just like Tiger. No, they didn't. But I was trying to get the same feeling. I was trying to get that same, you know, same feel in my golf swing. I was trying to get the same results as well. If I went out there and I wasn't hitting the ball as far and I'd look at the statistics, I'd be like, oh, something's wrong. You got to go back and practice some more. Or if I wasn't getting the same results, I'd say, okay, something's not quite right. I kept looking and measuring myself against that role model. A role model can be very good for helping you stay motivated. Remember I said on week one, I said one of the ways that people get discouraged and lose motivation is because they're waiting for a long time for something to happen. They're waiting for one big event to take place to feel like, ah, I did it. But in the time of waiting, that's when the people lose the motivation. And what people have found is that the way you keep your motivation going is you keep having little victories. Little, you know, if you keep progressing and keep looking and seeing, and you can look back and say, oh, I made improvement. And that was one of the things that always worked for me in having these role models, is I could always look back and see what kind of progress I was making. I could see the progress. I could see when I was, you know, looking at Arnold, I could see my body getting in better shape, and I could see, okay, I have a ways to go. I could also see where I was going. It was very clear to me what the destination was. What was I supposed to look like when I was done? And you're not there yet. You're closer. You're better than you were a year ago or 2 years ago, but you're not there yet. So I could see the progress, and that kept me motivated because I was moving forward. If you want to make, you know, stay motivated, you've got to see that you're making some sort of progress. If you don't see any progress, you just give up. This is what happens with people. They just kind of stop, you know, following their journey. So we got to see there's progress. And that was one of the things with the way I was always, mostly sports for some reason. I guess that I just picked that up. I guess that was just my nature. And I was a very athletic kid and I liked playing all those sports. That was part of the reason. But, you know, you're that clay and you're being molded. Well, I've got a new role model, people. I got a picture hanging on my wall. It's Jesus now. No, it is. It is Jesus. And now, what I'm focused on, and this is not just one aspect of my life, because all the sports, that was just one area of my life. That was just sports. You know, it was always my body, this professional, and I'm going to be like them. That was it. But all the other areas of my life were kind of, there was no role model in them. I wasn't doing anything with them, and they were a little bit weak and wimpy, you know, because I hadn't been doing something with them. But, you know, if you have the right role model, it'll be for every area of your life. And this was the plan of God. See, God wants us to be motivated by love. It's hard to love, you know, God in his spirit form when you don't see him. Because we're humans. How do you love something you're not really sure? Are you there, God? You know, I want to give you a hug, but I'm not even sure you're there. Am I hearing you? I think I'm hearing you. I think I heard you say something. You know, and God understood this because he created us. And so his plan was to come down on the earth in a body so that we could see him. And so that we would have a role model, we could now look and say, that's what I'm supposed to be like. You remember way back in the beginning, in this book called Genesis, means beginning, right? In the book of Genesis, here's what God says. Now, this is when he's creating man. He says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. God wants to make man in his own image. Well, if you don't see man, how do you know what you're supposed to look like? You know, and I'm not talking physically, well, we got to look identical to God. That's not what it means. It's talking about having the characteristics that God has. But if it's hard to see God or hard to know God, how do we know what the characteristics are? How do we know what we can do? How do we know what the potential is? And how do we set our sights on a target? See, when I had my role models, whether it was Wayne Gretzky or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Tiger Woods, I could set my sights very clearly on, that guy's the best. That's where I'm going. Here's where I am. Okay, so what do I need to do to get from here to there? And I could measure it, and I could see it, and I could look at it, and I could check it day by day. Okay, yes, you're a little closer today than you were yesterday. And that kept me motivated. But God creates us in his own image, but we don't have a measuring tool. What are we focused on here? What are we looking at? Where am I going and how far have I gone? Am I there yet? I don't know. Am I there yet? And you could lose motivation and say, well, I'm not sure. Should I be doing this? But God comes down now and walks in a body as Jesus. Now suddenly we have a clear understanding of what the image of God is like. The potential and the characteristics. Jesus starts to show us, here are the things you can do. He walks on water. He calms storms. He casts out demons. He does all these things. we start to say, whoa, hey, I never thought of that. Yeah, because you never saw the role model before. It's like when Tiger Woods did that little thing where he was bouncing the golf ball on the end of his club. Did you see that commercial? He's like bouncing it like 100 times or something. Well, I never thought of that till I saw it, you know, but this guy knew that. I'm like, no, everybody starts trying that. Now I see kids all over the place doing that. But before they showed that commercial, I think a lot of people weren't trying that. I mean, what's the point of that? I mean, it's not really the game, but it's something he was doing. It's the same thing. The minute you saw Jesus walking on water, you're like, whoa, I never thought of that. I didn't know that I could do that. And here's the thing we got to remember. Let's go down to 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to go right to the end of that verse. It says, because as he is, so are we in this world. We've got to understand we're created in the image of God. So is Jesus. Jesus is the role model showing us what we can do. He's the superstar athlete guy that I can now focus on. He's the guy that's got all the moves. And I just got to keep watching and looking and saying, whoa, you cast out that demon just like that. Okay. Let me try that, right? And so we got to understand, that's why we need that role model. And this now gives us something to focus on for every aspect of our life. It starts to give us understanding where we're going and who we can be. Let me go down to another one here in John chapter 14 and verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus is saying this, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. So Jesus is saying, the works that I do, he will do also. He's saying, guys, if he was talking to you, he'd say, guys, whatever you've seen me do, you guys can do that too. That's a motivational speech, right? That's like the coach coming into the locker room during halftime. The game is tied, and you guys have got to know, hey, whatever you've seen me do, you can do too. You can go out there and walk on that water. You're like, well, yes, coach, I'll do it. I can do that. You know, that's what Jesus is saying to these guys. He's saying, the works that I do, he will do also. And then he goes on to say, and greater works than these he will do. So he's saying, not only are you going to be able to do what I can do, you're going to do something even greater than that. And that makes sense because, see, I kept changing my role models. I kept getting distracted. I'm a hockey player. No, I'm a bodybuilder. No, I'm a golfer. You know, well, it's hard to get to your destination if you keep changing directions. You've got to stay focused on where you're going, and you've got to be continuing on that till you reach it. And I kept changing partway through to something else, you know, because I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. But see, it makes sense. Jesus is saying you're going to do greater things. Because if you stay the course and you keep focusing on him as the role model, you're going to get to a point where you can do all the things he can do. You can do all those things, and then you're going to be able to do something even greater. So you're going to go beyond, because that's the whole point. See, he's the role model that we need to be focused on to keep our motivation for changing our life. The motivation should be love. And now this also gives us a way for us to be motivated by love. Because it's easier for us to love when we see another human. So when you see Jesus, you can say, hey, buddy, I love you. You know, you can kind of embrace him. You can have the ability to love him because he's more on your form. You know, the other way it was like, dude, I want to connect with you, God. I'm feeling weird about this whole hugging you like this is weird. You know, but with Jesus, it's like, yeah, woo. And you hear about him loving people and hugging people. And so he was giving these examples that this is who he is. And so that's the same role model that we need to be focused on. Who's your role model? Now, let me clarify too here, because some people, they got Jesus as their role model, but they're looking at the wrong picture. We got to have a clear image of where am I going? Because the picture that most people have is Jesus as a role model. It's like a crucifix, and he's up there, and he's like tortured, and he's beaten, and he's got like holes in his hands, and he's like, oh my God, you know. And great, is that where I'm going? That's not very motivating to say that's where I'm going, is it? That's not the most exciting image to have in front of me to motivate me to move forward. That's probably going to make me move back, and I'm going to step away and go, oh, dude, that's a little too intense for me. I don't really, but you got to remember, Jesus went through a process where he had to conquer hells and he had to conquer death. And so he had to go through this suffering. But it's one sacrifice for all time. And so he went through the sacrifice to overcome the death so we wouldn't. So we can't get fixated on the suffering and the sacrifice. We got to go to the end. To the end. The end of the story is a happy story. He resurrects. He rises from the dead. Not only does he resurrect, he then ascends into heaven. The picture that I have hanging on my wall for my role model of Jesus, it's an ascension picture. Is Jesus ascending and the light is just glowing around him and he has just blessed the disciples. They're standing down there below on a little sheep hill and he's like rising up into the heavens. And when I see that, I feel power and I'm like, wow, that's where I'm going. That's how I'm going. And it shows me also the power that Jesus has. So we don't want to get our focus being on my role model, Jesus is beaten and, you know, tortured, because suddenly you're going to start wondering why you're waking up. Why is my back hurting? God, it really hurts. Why am I suffering all the time? Because that's your focus. If that's your role model, you miss the whole point. The suffering wasn't for us to go through. He suffered so we wouldn't have to suffer. See, he came in as a substitute sufferer. Yeah, if you've ever had a substitute teacher, man, they're like substitute sufferers. You know, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the substitute teacher would come, everybody's acting out, you know. You're throwing, you know, your spitballs are gone. You're throwing stuff at her, you know. You put something on her seat so she doesn't attack or something. She sits down. She's the substitute sufferer. But Jesus, that's what Jesus was. He was the substitute sufferer, and he substituted in place of us so we wouldn't have to. So the role model we've got to have is not the sufferer, but the fact that he overcame all that suffering. So he resurrected. He didn't die. I mean, he died, but then he overcame death. He conquered death. And now he wins. So we now have a picture of victory. See, it'd be like, when I was a kid, if I would have picked, little Louie from down the street as my hockey role model, little Louie was smaller than me and he couldn't even skate. I mean, the kid was awful. He spent most of his time on his hands and knees. And if I suddenly decide I need a role model for hockey, you know, and something about me, when I put on skates, I started skating right away. I just went out there and I just tore across the ice. Sure, I hit the other side of the boards, you know, but that didn't bother me. I tore back and hit this side of the boards, you know, but I ripped all over the ice like crazy. That's just the way I was. And it felt good. But if I had looked and said, oh, little Louie's going to be my role model, and he's crawling around on his hands and knees, what kind of image am I, where am I going with this? You know, what am I shooting for here? Where, you know, okay, I'm going to crawl? Okay. I'm already on my skates. Why do I want to go back? It's the same thing. We got to get the right image. What is the role model image that we need to have of Jesus? Got to have that image of victory. He is victory. You got to remember when God poured out, God was making promises from the foundation of the world. He created us in his own image. And then he kept pouring out, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have dominion. I'm going to bless you. You're going to multiply. You're going to increase. You're going to have blessings everywhere you go. You're going to have these blessings. So what Jesus is, when he pours this out himself, God pours himself out in this physical form, it is all the promises that God ever made from the beginning of creation fulfilled in the body of Jesus. All the promises, meaning everything he ever said, you can have that, it is in the body of Jesus. It is fulfilled in that. Jesus conquers all the things that were stopping you from becoming victorious in your life. He conquers sickness, and he conquers poverty, and he conquers worry, and he conquers fear, and he even conquers death. And he does that so that we have a role model that is so perfect. So that when we aspire to be like him, we can also measure and see that we're changing and we're growing daily. so we can stay motivated. We're not going to lose motivation. We're going to keep seeing him. Wow, I can cast out demons. Now, if you're not sure that you can do that, think about this. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. Well, he was still walking on the earth. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, and he asked them to do the same things he was doing. In other words, he said, he was asking them, you're going to be like little me's. You're going to go out and be like little role models, just like I'm showing you what to do. Here's what you're going to do. And so he sent the 12 out. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's commanding them, I want you to go specifically to this one area. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what was Jesus preaching? Jesus was preaching the same thing. He was saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the same thing. So he's telling these 12 disciples to do the same thing he did. And then he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out the demons. He's telling his 12 disciples to do this. That's exactly what he did, right? He was doing the same thing. He was healing the sick, he was casting out the demons, he was healing the lepers, all the same stuff. So they're learning to be like him. And we see that they have been watching him, they've been listening to him. He's like the role model. They're seeing, wow, this guy's doing some great things. And now he sends them out. And then after them, he sends the 70 out. In other words, he sends 70 other disciples out, and they do the same thing. So they're following and they're copying and they're learning to be like their role model, Jesus. They're able to do the same things. You're able to do the same things. This is what God wants us to be. He created us in his own image. And then he showed us the image. And if we get the right image in our head, if we see the right image, now we can accomplish and become what we were meant to be. The more clearly that you see the image of God, clearly as Jesus, the victor, the easier it is for you to become who you've always been meant to be. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God created us to be victorious in all areas of our life. God gave us power and authority. The same as his disciples went out, healing the sick, casting out demons, healing lepers, cleansing lepers, you have that same ability. That same ability is in you. How do we access that ability? We focus on our role model, Jesus. The more we focus on that role model, the more we become like him. It said, as I am in the world, so are you. It said, the things that I do, you will do also in greater things than these. He's pointing out, as long as you stay focused on the role model, you're going to keep moving and progressing towards that. You can be just like me. Say, I'm just like Jesus.
I'm just like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Does that make you feel uncomfortable when you say that? Good. Because that's the thing is, if there's something you're going, oh, no, I can't say that. But he said it. You know, I'm only saying it because he said it first. It's not, I'm just going to make this stuff up, you know. If Jesus said you can be just like him, and that's the whole point of why God comes and walks on the earth as this man Jesus. So we now have an image to focus on. So it's talked about us being a piece of clay and God's the potter. If we get focused on the right image, now he can start to mold us. He can start to mold our lives. He can start to mold every area of your life, meaning your purpose or your career. He can start to reveal to you what you're truly capable of doing, why he has created you and why he has put you here today. And he will give you an amazing purpose that will begin to change the lives of not only your life, but those around you. If you start to model that perfect image, you will also start to have a great relationship. He'll teach you how to love and your heart will start to open because Jesus had incredible power and ability to love. He said, love your enemies. I can't do that. You know, I got to work on that. I'm working on it. You know, but at the same time, Jesus was able to do that. So my job, I focus on my role model. He was able to love his enemies. Okay, I got a little bit of work to do, but I'm better than I was yesterday. I'm still progressing forward. You know, so this is the thing as we keep moving towards that image. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It's a very cool process. And I think God, well, of course, I know God understands how we think and how we learn and how we grow and how we stay motivated. And I think if you will make your role model Jesus and you'll focus on Him, and you'll let that image be before you, you'll start to notice supernatural power working in you. You'll start to notice that you have abilities to change things. Jesus calmed storms. You can calm a storm. I heard a story about a lady when we were away at this conference, and there was a level 5 tornado coming towards her house. And her neighbor had run over and told her, "This tornado's coming. We got to get to the storm shelter." And she heard the voice of God tell her, "No, you can stay here. The thing is coming right at her house. You can see it a few miles away. It's like a mile wide, a level 5 tornado. It's big. And it's ripping, you know, houses out of the ground like crazy and turning them into toothpicks." So she sits there and begins to pray, and God gives her a scripture, and she reads the scripture, and she starts to feel the presence of God as she stands there. And then she sees about a mile from her house, this storm just picked up and went over her house. And then she heard later in the news that the tornado came down over there a few miles away. Basically, this tornado lifted up, went over her house, and came down, you know, a few miles away. Jesus calmed storms. This lady, as she was praying and talking to God, and He gave her this verse, she commanded this storm, "Don't you come near my house." She said that. She remembered, if I can do like Jesus did, I just have to speak to this storm. "Don't you come near my house." And as a result, it lifted up and went over and passed her house. Same thing you can do. You got to believe it. You got to keep focusing on your role model. See, if you keep focusing on them, you're going to develop the same skills. I was developing those stick handling skills from watching Wayne Gretzky. I was learning, you know, that ability. Same thing. If you're watching Jesus, you're going to learn those stick handling skills. You're going to learn those storm handling skills. You're going to learn the ability to let healing flow through you from God, changing people's lives. Say amen to that.
Amen.